I just want to say a few words before we start. I want to say that I feel very honored and grateful and also super excited, might be the wrong word, but kind of tingly.
Yeah, yeah.
About these conversations with you, because we...
Yeah, me too.
Even without the mic, we have wonderful conversations, so it just makes sense to add a mic and record them for others. Yeah. So, I'm excited.
So you could say we're sort of adding a Mike and a Rob.
Yeah.
And a Mary.
Yeah, exactly. We have a crowd of people around us, invisible and visible. So there was a few things that we spoke about for this first kind of, this first step, let's call it. A theme of openness, a theme of the new human... You call it
form, the new human form.
There, where we're stepping into, including 12 expressions that you work with.
That we are.
Mm. Yeah, beautiful. And I just asked you a question before we turn the mic on, so we'll start with that. It might take us down a completely different tangent.
Yes, as ever.
Yeah. So we were just talking about, let's say, our teams, our guides, how would you call them?
I just refer to him as my lot.
My lot. Beautiful, exactly. And I ask him, so what's your experience of them? So I would love to ask you that, and anything else you want to share about that would be great.
Yeah, well, that's a really good question, actually. I don't get asked that often. So what I see, what I know, and what I experience is that there are energies. I'm just going to refer to everything as energy because... it is. And sometimes these energies are energies from another place, another space, another space place. There are two of them. Well, definitely one in particular. I'm not quite sure about the second one, but one of them in particular is actually a completely different form that I used to be before I came here. And some are, you might refer to them as ancestors, but they're... It goes so far back, I'm really not sure how to explain it. But I do know from several previous experiences as being what we have to call American Indian now, or Native American, that when they're referring to ancestors, and actually to be fair to the Chinese, they might even be, but I don't know enough about that. Mm. But when the Chinese refer to ancestral toxins, for example... Yeah. They are referring more to inherited DNA. But my feeling, and of course there is, I have to say up front here, there is nothing to prove this.
Yeah.
There's nothing to prove really pretty much anything I've ever done. It's one of the things about being a pioneer is that there's no backup.
Mm. You have to experience it. And
yes, exactly. And then, of course, people will make their own minds up or not. But ancestors, in that sense... They're energy forms that we did incorporate in experience. So you could say past life, but actually it's much greater than that because it's a form which incorporates and encapsulates all of, shall we say, the DNA, which is memory, of not just a generation... or one or two or three generations, but the entire line of generations going right back to whenever life form, as we understand what human form is, began. Mm. And so it's, you know, that visual effect that is there's an object or a shape and then there are shadows behind it and it goes on and on and on until you run out of screen.
Yeah.
It's sort of like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if you look at it and follow it back, of course, it tends to reduce itself so that I'm seeing all of these different energy forms, but they're all cascading back to maybe four, just in total. That's the sort of original source.
Yeah.
And they're all off planet.
Yeah.
You know, and certainly off this solar system. They're not out of that. And they all take the piss out of me. And these energies or beings are there of course, to help and to serve and assist, but really, they're there to help you understand what it is that you've chosen and agreed to do whilst you're here. Mm. And of course, this has got nothing to do with build an empire or be a teacher of whatever description. Mm. This is to do with opening up to the level and the degree to which you've agreed to open up. Mm. And my understanding of the reality that we're experiencing is that there are a huge proportion of what I refer to as shadow souls here. They're not going to open up. Mm. But for the rest of us, that is what we've agreed to do. That's why we're here at this time. And the vast majority of us, and in my experience, it's gotten worse, not better, are refusing to open up. Mm. And we're being drawn in by the New Age babble, because we're promised, the New Age psychobabble and psychotherapy and psychiatry promises us that we can control. That if you do this, they use the word healing spuriously, intentionally or not, I've got no idea, but it's not healing whatsoever because there's no profound understanding, because there is no release of control. Because the bottom line is, and I quite understand why people would prefer not to do this, because it's much easier to pretend you can control. And look, I'm doing this and I'm being a very good person because I'm opening myself up and I'm bringing this and that and the rest of it to healing. But actually this is not happening, because in order to open up, you have to relinquish the idea of control. And control, of course, is an illusion, but that doesn't stop the human mind from convincing itself, well, if I go a bit further or explore this or really commit myself to that, then ultimately they'll use whatever words they want to do. But actually what they're saying is, then I'll be able to control. Mm. I'll be able to control outcome. Mm. I can control what happens to me. I can control my experience of my relationships, whatever it is. Mm. And so they don't open up. And by not opening up, they are not only not fulfilling the agreement that they made before they came down here, because life is a gift, you know. It's given to you. It's given. You choose it, but it's given to you. And it's not a freebie. It's given to you because you have agreed that you will fulfill certain somethings, whatever they'll be.
Yeah.
And the primary one of that, because of course you can't do anything else until you've done this, is to open up. Now, people being sidetracked and distracted by all of the New Age babble and oh yes, and this is the way forward, and these are the steps towards this, that and the other. I understand it, of course, because it's so pervasive now. But of course this is quite deliberate. And it's being deployed upon us to prevent us from opening up. That's the horrible irony of it. So if you're not making your focus to open up, then you've taken a gift. And I want to say something which is shocking to me to actually think this. But you're taking a gift that you haven't earned. That sounds really, I'm surprised that I've just said that. But I've just realised it's what I really feel. Because without that understanding, also, you're not going to be able to access your compassion. Because compassion, as we said before, is the understanding that whoever needs most gets. And whatever it is that you want to get out of a situation is just put aside, because there's somebody or a group of people or whatever it is right in front of you who needs it more. Mm. And that's just what you do. It's who you are. It's part of who you are. And, of course, every time you do that, you then literally have an experience of the all of who you are, which is why it's so profoundly healing for you, not because you've just been marvellous and done some act of kindness or something, which is again, the New Age babbles are now reducing compassion to kindness.
Mm.
You know, well, kindness used to be a de facto. Everybody had to be kind. It was part of being honourable, as is opening up, actually, part of being honourable. But this has become immensely unfashionable, and now it's all about pay attention to yourself, and therefore you will get your reward.
Mm.
But actually you've already got your reward
mm.
because you are alive.
You're incarnated. You're alive.
You're here.
Yeah.
You are living.
Yeah.
That's your reward. That's your gift.
Yeah.
And to not fulfill your side of that exchange, you could argue that if it's not a gift, if there's an exchange. Well, that is true because you're not going to die.
Yeah.
You know, the life isn't going to be whisked away from you. But the reason that most people are so tremendously dissatisfied and so attached to all of this New Age babble stuff is because they're not honouring their side of the gift exchange.
Mm.
And they're not treating life as a gift in and of itself. It's, no. I want this and I want that and I want to experience this and I want to feel this and I want this in my life. It's basically what toddlers do. That's why they have tantrums
mm.
when they don't get it.
Mm.
And adults, I use that word advisedly, have tantrums when they don't get what they want by refusing to open up.
Yeah.
And they'll close down even more.
Yeah.
And divert themselves off into this direction. Well, I'm doing all of this healing stuff,
yeah.
you know, inadvertent commas.
Yeah.
It's getting a bit uncomfortable now. So, quick, what can I read, what can I listen to that's going to give me a control mechanism
mm.
to handle that?
Mm. Yeah, very true.
And then they miss out on joy. Because when you are connected with the sheer joy of experiencing this gift of being alive, which is why small children are so happy all the time, because they're with that, well, then you've just blown it, haven't you? Really. But you're not going to... Because that's what joy is.
Mm.
It's not something external.
Mm.
It's the recognition and the realisation that life... Your gift is life,
mm.
that you are living it. This is your gift.
That's beautiful. So how would you define opening up?
Oh, yeah, $64,000 question.
Yes, please.
How would I define opening up?
Or as an
yes,
experience.
Yes. Perhaps the best way I can explain it, I'll give it a really good go, is having the courage, taking the courage, making the courage to understand that whilst you know everything, you actually know nothing.
Mm.
And that your commitment to your own understanding and awareness of yourself, which is the same as your own understanding and awareness of everything, because you are everything and everything is you, is infinitely more important than any discomfort that you might be feeling at the thought of having to uncover past trauma to get beyond it, because that's part of the deal, really.
Mm.
And of course, when we avoid that, that's the other tragic irony, when we avoid that, we don't get the gifts from the trauma that are there for us to experience in the first place.
Yeah.
We stay closed and small, but we run around telling ourselves and everybody else that we're completely open. And then we also do that thing, which I love, which is when somebody is assisting you in opening up, somebody who knows what they're doing, you know, and you're resisting it, then, of course, you blame that person. Well, I'm not getting very much out of this now. And I don't think, you know, I'm not sure that I respect
yeah.
what you're doing and
yeah.
so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's just an excuse to say that, well, I'm not ready for this,
yeah.
at the very least.
Yeah.
But now, if that's what was going on, that's fine, because that's an honest acknowledgement. You know, I'm not ready for this. Okay, cool. But, of course, people more and more, this is what I find, I do find this distressing, actually, because 10 years ago, openness was much more widely allowed. But now, there's many more people are speaking these words, but they're even tighter. And so, what to do about that is something that I reflect on quite a lot, actually.
Mm.
How can I assist in helping people who are so closed, but that they actually think that they're really open?
Mm.
And perhaps the most significant thing to say about that is you're not fulfilling your side.
Mm.
And that life is a gift. And in exchange for that, because it's an exchange, energy exchanges or not. And exchange is also the same thing as saying receiving. You know, for energy to exist, it has to be received and experienced. And perhaps if people were willing to take that on board, that it might help them to get over themselves enough to begin again,
mm.
you know, just start again and just, well, I've been listening to this and I've been following that and this has been what my understanding is. There's no shame, there's no blame in that. In fact, that's very beautiful and loving because that's real honesty and it takes courage to own that perhaps you've been going wildly off
mm.
planet in an unhelpful direction. I don't know, was that helpful at all?
Mm-hmm. That was helpful. Yeah. And just to kind of maybe summarise or clarify or get my own take on it, you're saying it's a kind of continuous action of having the courage to keep, not exploring, but keep acknowledging and allowing our inner being, our energy to show us the gifts through the work,
yes.
the work.
For me, it's more, I mean, I do this all the time.
Yeah.
And I say to myself, what if I'm wrong?
Yeah.
What if I'm completely wrong?
Yeah.
Then what would I see? Because again, we're so busy chasing down
yeah.
answers
yeah.
that of course we miss the whole point, which is you can only ask questions.
Yeah.
You can't chase down an answer. You can ask a question and then see what arises
yeah.
when it's ready to arise, which is basically when you're open enough to see it.
I love that. So what if I'm completely wrong?
Yeah.
And what would I see?
Yeah. What Ooh. Would I see? What would I know? What would I understand?
Yeah,
and again,
really nice.
Allowing the energy of time, space
yeah,
to
yeah.
assist you with this
yeah,
because
yeah.
you simply might not be open
yeah.
enough to be able to see it. Mm. And even things which, you know, you would swear up and down are absolutely truthful and this has worked for me and this has worked for me. What if I'm wrong?
Mm.
What if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong? And frankly, if you're desiring to be a teacher of any sort and you're not asking yourself that at least once a day, then I would say you're not really the best teacher you
yeah.
can be.
Yeah.
It's never assuming that yeah. you know actually anything.
Yeah. Yeah, there's as soon as you invite those words, I just feel that opening
yes.
of energy.
Yeah.
There's like a potentiality that kind of returns. And I did a vision quest at the weekend and I was working with, I don't know, the energy of spiders came.
Mm-hmm.
And part of their wisdom is being able to perceive what's on the outside of the web, which I realized I wasn't doing. I was very much focused on the center, what's
yes.
here right now. And it's exactly what you're saying. It's opening the mind up and just allowing kind of what's not in your field of vision
yes.
a bit more. And that question really takes you there.
Yes.
I just feel this, woof, this opening. Again, that kind of tingle. Oh, now we're back to potential.
Yes.
You know, if I guess.
Or,
you say,
yes, at least now we're open to the possibility
to
of seeing some
yeah.
reality. At
yeah,
least.
Exactly.
And another
That's
thing,
beautiful.
Actually, that you've just reminded me of is to take yourself right up. So imagine that you're beyond the skyline. You're
mm.
sort of in the stratosphere, if you will. But you can go up to the skyline if that makes you feel more comfortable or it's easier to imagine or visualize. And then look down on yourself and how you're behaving and how you're interacting. and how other people are experiencing you.
Mm.
And that, if you're willing again to see, will give you a lot of understanding, much more than you can see from that focus of the very centre of yourself. You know, the centre of yourself is where you go to connect, but it's where you go to connect because you're not in your mind. But people have taken that to mean that, whether consciously or not, that the centre of themselves is the place from which they can view everything happening outside of themselves. And that, of course, is the opposite of openness.
Yeah.
And you can't see anything.
Yeah.
Well, that's real, you know, that's truthful, that's loveful, that's healing.
Mm.
Because you're just constantly reinforcing your own experience.
Mm. And the self again.
Yes, me.
Self-centeredness, there you go.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very nice.
There is a huge amount of pressure for people to not open up. And I'm just trying to think of an area in the society in which we live which isn't devoted to shutting people down.
Mm.
And I can't think of one. There must be one, but I just can't think of it. So there is massive, it might help us all to understand that there is massive intent for us to stay closed down, which is why we're being fed all of this babble stuff, new age babble, blah blah blah, call it what you will.
But any industry, anything is,
yes,
is there.
For yes, that, there's a massive industry out there catering to, oh, you don't want to open up? Not a problem.
Exactly.
Because come here, we'll give you the illusion of control.
Yeah.
You'll give us lots of money and then we're all happy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you'll stay closed and
that's
exactly what you want.
Exactly.
Right?
And here, the status quo.
Here are the foods to support that.
Yes.
Here are the activities, here are the TV shows, here are the whatever, addictions.
Yeah.
Even if they look healthy on the surface, you're right, they can be used for keeping it closed.
Yeah, well, but everything is. Because, of course, if we were really opening up, what we would actually see, which, of course, is another reason why people don't do it, is so horrifying that it impels you to action of some description.
Yeah.
Now, this action could be, for example, not supporting industries that poison and pollute us.
Yeah.
But people who consider themselves very open and spiritual will go and buy products from corporations that they must know, and if they don't know, a moment's research would tell them that are actively trying to kill us.
Mm. Yeah.
They won't do the honourable thing.
Mm.
And this is a word that was used a lot when I was growing up, but you never hear it now.
Mm.
Everybody was expected to be honourable. And if you weren't, you were shunned. When a member of parliament was caught with his pants down, he resigned. He didn't wait to be asked. He just immediately left, full of shame. This is not obviously something that is helpful. But at least they understood and operated on some level of honour.
Yeah.
But honour has now been replaced with, well, what works for me
and
what makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And that's backed up and, in fact, encouraged and supported and is now passing as honour.
Mm.
It really is. It's not so much doublespeak as completely topsy-turvy. Whatever something is said that it is, in fact, the opposite.
Mm.
And we've lost honour, which is a very useful energy, because then you instantly know when you're being an asshole or when you're not opening up, because you feel that pang of another word, which we don't use anymore, of conscience. Well, conscience is consciousness, isn't it? It's your consciousness. So you feel your consciousness saying, no, that's not honourable. You can't do or say that. No, that's just, that's not all right.
Mm.
Find another way. And this prospect then, of course, of making an effort, because it does make an effort if a company that has made a product that you've been using then gets bought out by a big corporation.
Yeah.
It takes an effort to source it elsewhere.
Yeah.
But and we're not willing to make that effort anymore. Now, that's partly because those who do not wish as well are making sure that families need two salaries just to survive, and everything is rush, 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 rush.
Exactly.
I totally get that. Yeah. No, it's not made easy. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
It's full of stress. To take time
I can't
to do
manage that.
That.
Yeah. I can't do that.
Yeah.
But if you were open, even sufficiently, it sounds like a contradiction in terms, in a way it is, but it is also true to say that opening happens like a flower.
Mm.
You know, there are stages. So even as you begin to open, your conscience, your consciousness, your sense of honour will be at you to do something about it, and then you make time.
Mm.
And because time is not what we've been told it is a time-space continuum, you will be granted that time. It just means that you have to make that choice. But once you make that choice, as we know, that sets in motion a whole cascade of amazing things and opportunities and knowledge. And you will find it infinitely easier than you thought it would be when you first started out to, well, how can I live honourably?
Mm.
How can I be open and live honourably?
Mm.
It becomes actually very easy because the entire cosmos is basically geared up to help you to do exactly that.
Mm. Yeah, and it brings back to mind the question that you asked yourself, what if I'm wrong? Mm. What also exists are the possibilities? And it really applies to the wider collective. What if I'm wrong in my thinking about the government? Or what if I'm wrong in my thinking about all these industries and my own way of being, what is there? And there's a real correlation there. Suddenly you start to observe outside of yourself and receive the answers from outside of yourself about a different way. And the truth, which, as you said, is quite horrific,
that's
an important part of the process to connect to.
Exactly. And then, of course, the truth is also is quite astoundingly, amazingly, brilliantly, fantastically
as well.
Gorgeous.
Exactly. Yeah, that's so true. It's not just horrific. Horrific is the first, is this reality? And it's like, oh my God, is this reality as well? That's very, very true. That's true.
Yes. And it's important
to acknowledge that. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Which is why it does require courage. And I really understand when people, quite often they'll start to open up and then it's bringing up all of the stuff that they really need to address.
Mm.
They can't control that.
Mm.
They're being reminded of the trauma and they don't want to go there, so they'll
Shut it down. Yeah.
Shut right back down again.
Mm.
But perhaps it would help. I'm really reflecting on this as I'm saying this because I'm just feeling my way into this is either a really brilliant idea or rubbish because I'm just feeling in if people ask themselves, am I closing down because of the trauma that I've experienced? If they then, and the answer to that would be yes, if they then said to themselves, well, my life is a gift and I have agreed in exchange for this gift to have a look and bring to healing my trauma, because apart from anything else, there are more gifts for me within that, but also it means that I'm playing my part.
Mm.
Whether that would make it easier for people to then open up again. What do you think?
As you say that, I get the sense of the intelligence that supports that process.
Mm.
And of course, you know, there is very intense trauma for
a lot of people, yes.
And people do need, I think, to open up maybe with that support, the professional support, someone who really knows, as you say, what they're doing and can hold the space for some elements of
it.
And I also really trust that, go back to the teams and to my lot, there's a real support for opening from life and from my own inner guidance or from my
own crew. Yeah.
So maybe we're linking the two together. In that invitation to open up, there can be an element of really also opening up to that guidance and to trusting that there will be like a step-by-step-by-step with that, which might include going to see a professional and receiving that support, possibly.
Yes, and the understanding, of course, that you won't be given anything that you can't handle,
Exactly.
obviously, because that's counterproductive.
Yeah.
But in some respects, perhaps the biggest tragedy is that people who are closed or closing down are in massive pain, of course. And it's only through opening up that that pain can be relieved, but they don't want to open up because they don't want to re-experience the pain or the trauma.
Yeah.
And so they stay stuck.
Yeah.
But that is having a profound impact on the energy of everything, which affects us all. It really does seem to me that exponentially people have... It's like 10 years ago we reached a sort of full stop, right, that's it. And now there are lots of people who are talking about opening up a lot and who are convinced that they are, but they are absolutely not. And it does... There's such a big misunderstanding. There was quite recently somebody who turned out to be just 26 years old, and they'd find out about crystals and things and all the rest of it. And I said, oh, that's, you know, that's great. So, great. I enjoy exploring that. And she said, no, I'm setting up this and I'm setting up that and we're going to be teaching people. And I said, why? Thinking, what? You're 26 years old. It's another way of avoiding opening up, of course, and a very common way.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yes, right, well, good.
I know this, I'll teach
yes.
it. Yes. Oh, I've read this book, I can teach this.
Yeah. And because it's just about the self, again. And it's about the perception of self as just being a single entity. Disconnected or unconnected from everything, let alone all things.
Yeah.
And actually, perhaps that's another question that we could all be asking of ourselves when we have an idea about what we're going to do. Is this honourable? You know, and even if people aren't really aware of what that word means, it has its own energy, of course, and your body will respond to that.
Or is it inviting me to open, or is it supporting my closeness, maybe? Is this...
Yes, well, that's quite a good way for their mind, then, to get involved and go, no, blah, blah, blah. But it's to ask a question so that you can, if you're willing, of course, to feel that visceral response in your body's energy.
You know,
is this honourable? No. That also might be of help.
So I would love us to take a bit more time to explore the life as a gift element, which is so beautiful. I want to, I know you have many feelings around that and beautiful wisdom. So without even asking a question, how would you like to say more about that?
Yes, life as a gift. If everybody... who wish to, obviously, were to just allow themselves, just for a moment maybe, to have an awareness of a sense of feeling and knowing of, you know, their cosmic crew, as I refer to it, the energies that are there for them if they wish to make connection with, to be of support and of guidance to them. And if we were to just then own, okay, my life is a gift. It's a gift. And in order to realise that gift, an energy exchange needs to be required, because for anything to exist, it needs to experience itself as existing. So if you're not experiencing or understanding your life as a gift, then it's not going to be. And I'm just feeling that this actually... has possibly answered my question, which is a permanent question with me, which is, how can I better assist people to open up? And maybe that's the answer. So being in the energy space with your cosmic crew, your guides, however you wish to refer to them, and then being with, accepting the reality that your life is a gift. Your life here is a gift. and then seeing or feeling or knowing what it is that your crew can tell you or show you to remind you of your side of the deal, of your side of the bargain. That would also help us to view our trauma in the light that is most healing, which is these are experiences that you have agreed on some level to experience in order to bring out of you some energy part of you which is so much bigger than the human experience. And that, of course, doesn't mean, picking up on what you were saying earlier, that the moment that happens, then you race out into the world and teach it. It means that you then live it, you be it, and you do it. Because at the moment, I think you raise a really interesting point, there seem to be a bigger and bigger and shutting down, but somehow magically there are more and more teachers.
Oh?
That just doesn't add up. And it's that thing of, I understand your awareness starts to expand and you become aware of something. And then I'm not going to do that boring old thing of having to be in the world and just be it and do it and not get plaudits and congratulations for it. I'm going to go out and teach it so that I can be important.
Mm.
But actually, to be able to teach anything, actually, any subject, people who are effective teachers are in a very small minority. There are very few of them, really.
Mm.
Like there are very few of anything. And people who become teachers or who then go out to teach are those who are substantially more open than the rest of us. And more that I do this, the more I realise sometimes this difference. The ease with which, for example, it is for me to open up to something and just... happy to accept if maybe I've been wrong about something for decades or something. That's okay, what does it matter? It simply doesn't matter. Because the detachment from the self is there. And that is something that comes about because you are willing to explore and bring to healing your past.
Mm.
But actually, the more I do this, the more I realise that this is something you come down with. Because this is what you've agreed to do when you're here.
Mm.
So you have it naturally in abundance.
Mm.
And if you don't have that, then why are you teaching, for example? You know, there'll be something else for you to do and be.
Yeah.
And that speaks to openness and life being a gift in a huge way, because again, we're not willing to accept, if we're not willing to accept that life is a gift, then we're running around trying to find a life that makes us feel special or important or valuable or worthwhile. You're already being considered worthwhile because you've been given this gift of life. But of course, you can't claim that until you're willing to receive it. And lots of times we go, well, my life sucks, so how the hell is that a gift? And of course, just missing the point entirely. All that means is, please open up some more.
And receive please the open gift. Up I love that. More. You have to receive it.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes. Well, exactly, because you're quite right. If you're not receiving it, then it's not real. You're not
experiencing it. It's like someone giving you a literal present, and you're like, no, thank you. Yeah. You're not receiving a present.
No.
It's been given, but
yes.
You're not receiving it.
Exactly, because it's this... life can't be a gift because my life sucks.
Yeah.
So I need to go and find some controlling ways in order to make
to
it
better,
in the way that I want it to be. Well, again, it's not the point. And if we're not understanding this, we are so vulnerable to being taken right off course. Because this is a level of ignorance that is so profound that it can sometimes, and in fact they might come up now, induce tears in me because it's so heartbreakingly terrible waste of potential, of love, of power, of bringing all of the healing into the life forms that exist on this planet so that this planet can start to become what it desires to be.
Yeah.
It's just such a monumental waste. And at the same time, it's keeping people wrapped up in more and more pain, because if you're not opening up, then you are experiencing your life as trauma in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And so, of course, you will continue to experience that, and so will all the rest of us.
Yes. And the experience of the gift, as you say, on the other side, is so beautiful and so amazing.
And so profoundly healing.
Yes. You just wish it on, on all of us.
Yes.
To live from that space.
Yes. And then you are not in trauma anymore.
Yeah.
That's, you know, the gift for you.
Yeah.
That you're just not. And you're also then fulfilling the function for all of us. But just as people sometimes don't understand this, they also don't understand the other side of this particular coin, which is when you're running around in your trauma, that is what you are emanating out of you.
Yeah.
And that is what, that energy is what those who do not wish us well are able to feed off in order to imprison more and more and more of us and to bring down this web or tentacles of control even further upon us, because they know that nobody cares. They're not going to get up and say, that's outrageous.
Mm.
There was an English Member of Parliament just recently who was caught selling arms to the Saudis to use against the Hindus. I don't know what's happened. Has she been sacked?
She's apologised for doing it accidentally.
Oh, she, of course she has.
Yeah.
Again, how utterly dishonourable is that?
Yeah.
Why isn't she being prosecuted? Yeah. Why hasn't she resigned?
And how easy it is to get away with it.
Why hasn't she been sacked?
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's easy to get away with it because we are not doing what we agreed to do.
We're not taking, this is where the power lies, isn't it? Maybe that's the choice point, and the power lies in either giving it away and staying closed and staying unaware.
Buying into control.
Buying into, yeah, exactly.
Yes, giving, we complain about being controlled.
Yeah.
But actually, it's us who are controlling ourselves or desiring
to
control ourselves because we're not willing to even see that when you're controlling on whatever level it is, you are about as far away from your power as you can be.
Mm.
But you are, unconsciously or not, or consciously or not, giving permission for those who do not wish humanity well to control us.
Mm.
But when you are willing to take on board the full realization of what it means, when you understand that your life is a gift, then it actually becomes impossible for you to tolerate this nonsense, both within yourself and without yourself. And then things can really actually begin to heal.
Yeah.
Rather than, and I'm always hoping I'm wrong about this, but rather than this thing that sometimes I just wake up with and I just think to myself, or I'm feeling to myself, God, this energy is so heavy, and it seems just to be getting worse.
Mm.
And I had really felt that certainly by this time it would start getting better.
Yeah.
But more and more people are simply unwilling to make a choice. Because that's all it is, to simply make a choice that they will become from now on part of the solution rather than being part of the problem.
Yeah.
Because they won't even admit they're part of the problem.
Yeah.
You know? But if you're buying any Nestlé products or any of the huge number of companies that they now own, if you're buying any of those products, you are now part of the problem.
Mm. Yeah.
You know? Oh, yeah, but I need this because of this, that, and the other. You're part of the problem.
Mm.
If you are refusing to open up, you are part of the problem. It doesn't matter what the babble says, because you can either only be part of the solution or part of the problem, right? There's no middle ground.
And what comes to mind is like the hero's journey, Joseph Campbell's hero's journey, in which we are all these like children in hiding and having to face these special guardians and these inner demons and go through all these trials and tribulations to really open. And in his journey, there's always the tendency for us to run back to hiding throughout it.
Yes.
So we kind of, you know, we open, and then of course something else might, you know, be apparent or visible, either an inner trauma or external reality and truth that we're not maybe willing to face yet. And so we're going to run back to hiding. So
yes.
I can be open in my personal healing process, but then when it comes to actually choosing what I'm shopping at the supermarket, then it's like, I'll just hide in this context, and I'll close down my inner reality maybe
yes.
in this context. So maybe, and this is a question actually, like, you know, it really is a dance. It's not like one thing you do once and I'm open. It's a continuous process of
yes.
having the courage, like you said, to do it continuously on an inner level and outer
well,
action.
Well, yes. And also, I must say, if thank God I didn't read The Hero's Journey then, because that would have put me off for the rest of my life, I'm quite sure. I think I really like to speak to this, the trials and the torments thingies. Again, this is another part. It's become lore now, L-O-R-E.
Yeah.
You know, that you begin to open up and then you'll face all of these hassles and da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
My God, no wonder that's putting people off.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not about you. You open up to be able to see you.
Yeah.
Not to be a better or more powerful you, but you're opening up in order to see yourself and everything else. That's the whole purpose. Trauma, now listen, I am not negating some of the horrific things which some of my students have experienced, and I'm certainly not negating some of the spectacularly shitty things that I myself have experienced.
Yeah.
And clearly they are traumatizing. They are traumatizing, but they're traumatizing on a mental level, on a physiological level. When you open up to the energy experience of it, the trauma vanishes.
Yes,
it ceases to exist because the experiencing of... This is why, look, this is a better way of explaining, this is why some people who've experienced gang rapes, shall we say, and sometimes they'll tell you that they took themselves off and they went into another place and space, and they were witnessing what was happening to their body. And excellent. That's exactly the point.
Yeah.
Because these things are happening on one level to their body.
Yeah.
They do not have to be happening to their energy.
Yeah.
And they don't need to, you know, this thing about this is scarring me for life. Well, okay, if that's what your belief system is, then yes, it will, but it doesn't need to. We are all so much bigger than this.
Yeah.
And these experiences, you could say, actually have shown the person that's been experiencing this trauma how incredibly resilient they are. You know, what instinctive abilities they have to actually, in order to not... There's no reason, actually it's just come to me, it's something a number of women will tell you, for example, that in their relationships and their lover wants a kiss or a hug or something because they're being a bit needy, and the woman feels that she needs to do, and of course it could be the other way around and all the rest of it, but that they're doing this because they don't want to do it, but they feel that they want to perhaps give this gift of it. But they're removing themselves from it. They're not actually really open and connecting with their partner in this. They're just, it's not that they're going through the motions, but they've detached a part of themselves so that they don't have to feel it themselves. And of course the partner can always tell.
Yeah.
So this also goes to show that we all have this ability. We don't have to be subject to trauma, particularly not because those who do not wish us well, that's their whole modus operandi. course, that's what wars are about, to inflict trauma.
Mm.
But if we're not opening up, then that's the only way we can experience trauma as something that we can never get over. Mm. It's just, this has happened to me and now I've got to suffer this
as the
for the rest of my life.
As the kind of quote-unquote demon, because it's such an... the mind makes up, as a story, this is so hard and painful and scary. But in reality, it's not.
Yes, well, for me, it's because what people are experiencing is because this has happened once, it means it can happen again.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what they don't want to happen, understandably.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they start then controlling in order to avoid having to experience that again.
Yeah.
However, A, that doesn't work, and B, if anything, it actually opens, shall we say, but it actually makes it much more likely that it may well happen again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, of course, that's where your energy is.
Yeah.
But, you know, whenever we connect with the trauma that we've individually experienced, we can also reflect on how many people have experienced much worse trauma.
Yeah.
And then we can start feeling appreciative of the fact that, well, at least we haven't had to experience that. In other words, as a way of helping us to get over ourselves. You know, it's almost, and I appreciate this is a pretty heretical thing to say, but nonetheless, I'm going to say it. It's sort of, okay, so you've experienced trauma, so what? Join the club. That doesn't make, you know, you're not special.
Mm. Yeah.
If whatever you've experienced, there is the opportunity for profound healing and the love and all the gifts of self-knowledge, awareness, and self-faith to come from that. Mm. But this thing of, which again, I think is just, it's another mind trap. Trauma is common. It's extremely common.
Yeah.
And then we start getting into competitions about who's experienced the most trauma.
Yeah.
You know, well, that was easy for you because when I was a child and I experienced this, that, and the other, and so on and so forth. And all of this is just keeping us closed and tight and unwilling to open.
Yeah.
But what if... what if it just didn't matter?
Mm.
What if what we've labelled trauma is an experience? Mm. Okay, I'm not going to say... therefore, it's a pleasant experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what if it doesn't matter if an experience is pleasant or unpleasant?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because certainly in the terms of how the cosmos views it, that's exactly it. That's energy. Doesn't go around with a little list of, well, this experience is 10 out of 10 for horror,
exactly.
And this experience, you know, this it's just an experience.
Yeah.
When I say just, I'm not obviously diminishing these levels of trauma that people are experiencing, mostly because I've experienced trauma myself, you know, because I feel that on some level we all have, and if not in this lifetime, then in previous lifetimes. Mm. What I am saying is, so fucking what, actually?
There's freedom in that.
So what? It's an experience.
Yeah.
And you could say that life, it's part of life. But it's not better or worse. It's just an experience.
Mm.
But the more we resist trauma, the easier it is for those who do not wish us well to ramp the ante up and make things outside, you know, that are happening in the world, even more outrageous.
Mm.
I mean, how many wars are being currently fought?
Yeah.
I don't know, I've lost count.
Yeah.
That's awful. I've actually lost count of the number of wars that are being waged by those who don't wish us well. That's how effective they have become at traumatizing and inflicting trauma.
And how normalizing, how normalized it's become.
And they can do that.
Yeah.
We have given them our energy permission to do this because we are so attached to our own trauma.
Mm.
And I won't open up because I'm going to sit with my trauma.
Mm. I stay in my box.
Yeah, well, I'm going to stay with my trauma. That's That's it. I have a right to stay within my trauma.
Yeah. So my personal experience of that is also that there's a part of me that identifies so much with that trauma and the box and that state that is then afraid to open up because of the loss of identity. So again, that comes back to what you speak about, the me. This is me. Yes. This is my trauma. This is who I am. You know, yes. I've had these experiences. This is me. This is me. Look at me. I'm such a victim to my trauma. Yeah. And the fear of then going, because if I let go of this, then what would I be? Who would I become?
That kind yes. of thing. And maybe when we were speaking to each other and somebody talks about an experience that is traumatic, maybe we can assist them and ourselves by hearing them, absolutely. Apart from anything else, it's a common courtesy. But sometimes when people say things out loud, they're able to see things which they weren't able to before. But instead of then going into a big sort of trauma orgy, everybody swapping their traumas, that they then, when the person is finished talking, and so what's the healing for you in that? You know, what are the gifts in this for you? How can you turn this straw into gold? Again, chasing down the answer is not the issue, but asking the question, it's being respectful of the fact that they're wanting to recount this experience, but it's not buying into the, oh, you poor thing. Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Because, as I said, and we all know this to be true, whatever trauma you've had, there are going to be others out there who've had a sort of bigger trauma, and that's what it's become. And why is this important? Beyond a personal level, because it is that that gives permission to those who do not wish humanity well to keep inflicting traumatic events. We are giving permission. This simple little act of hanging on to our trauma, of reliving, re-experiencing our trauma, of using it as a reason why we're not going to do anything or this or that or the other, is you are by de facto giving permission for people to wage wars on humanity. And that sounds a pretty outrageous thing to say, but on an energy level, that is completely true.
Yeah.
That is what is happening.
Yeah.
You know, whatever is within the micro
exactly.
is reflected in the macro. Yeah. That's a slight distortion, actually. Yeah. I realise that I've said that because... But for as long as these energies who do not wish humanity well are within our space, within our time space here, then that does become true. Because the macro is a very small macro. You know, it's just what's happening on this planet. Of course, the larger macro is what's going on in the cosmos.
That's true.
And that's where we need to be understanding what our macro is.
That's a really good point. That's so true.
And so therefore, if trauma is not happening, if our micro trauma is not happening in the cosmos macro, then does it actually exist? Or is it really important? Or so freaking what?
Yes.
Right? With, you know, this is why my cosmic crew, as I refer to them.
Terry.
If I'm sort of experiencing something that isn't exactly making me run around with joy, and then I might do a sort of like, oh, God. The first thing I experience, which is automatically, as soon as I do that, is my crew all laughing their heads off. You know, that's hilarious. Look at Kim. She's being such a dick. Such a dick. It's hilarious. And of course, actually, it's very helpful because then I start laughing because I am being a dick. Because this doesn't exist in the macro, so why am I trying to make it happen in me, the micro?
It comes back to the me thing and what we had a conversation before starting the recording of how we're then applying that to me and even being human and the planet. Like, it's just happening here. So this is my macro.
Yeah.
As you say, the planet is my macro. Nothing else exists beyond it. But straight away, moving through that and reconnecting to the reality of, no, the macro is the cosmos, is the universe, is the infinite. It changes everything in terms of perspective. And it shifts it in a beautiful way. And I love that.
Yeah, because because now you can at least have a sense of the actual reality rather than the reality that's being imposed.
Yeah, the illusion of the reality, exactly.
Yeah.
That's really powerful.
Mm. And we also, it's just come to me actually to say this, it's also important or powerful, yeah, it is important, that we start calling each other out on our shit.
Mm. Mm.
But we're not willing to do that because then we might be seen as something other than spiritual and, you know, we're all running around and we have love and we're all beaming this out. Because, of course, we want to be perceived as that.
Yeah.
But we are the best ones to hold ourselves to account because we're interacting with ourselves on a daily or weekly basis and level. And this is our immediate macro. And over that, we can influence. But if we're letting each other get away with this I'm in trauma routine, then, of course, it's just perpetuating it. It goes on and on and on and on and on. And that's because we're not fulfilling our side of the bargain. Yeah. We're not willing to risk being seen as something that we've been told that we have to be.
Yeah.
You know, by the new age spiritual blah-de-blah-de-blah community, you have to be this. I experience this a lot. I've experienced this for years, actually. And every so often, you know, somebody will come up and they'll say, well, Kim, I didn't really expect you to do that. And this will be because somebody's been trying to bully somebody else. Somebody in a position of authority has been basically trying to bully somebody else. That, you know, fires up my engine and I just go steaming in there. And deal with it. But I don't deal with it by saying, oh, would you like to take a little step back and open up? If the occasion calls for it, I'll just say, right, you know, reality check, reality check, reality check. And so then this and this and this. And of course, this person then just becomes, stops the bullying because somebody's actually stood up to them. Somebody's actually called them to account. Somebody's actually said, you know what, this isn't okay.
You can't condone this, yeah, exactly.
This is not in my name.
Yeah.
Not while I'm here.
Yeah.
Not right in front of me. And then, you know, that's not very spiritual, so why not? And then, of course, out comes all of this babble about what being spiritual apparently looks like.
Mm.
You know, cue my cosmic crew laughing so hard their heads are falling off. You know? Yeah. It's not. And we don't do that because for that precise reason, because we don't want to be perceived as being non-spiritual in some way. And so we stay closed.
Mm.
We won't open up because we want to control how other people perceive us.
Mm. Yeah.
And so it goes on and on and on. And right at this moment, I myself, when there's a big energy shift going on this planet and, you know, out in the cosmos, I'm one of those very lucky people that feels it.
Yeah, me too.
And what I'm feeling, or the energy that I'm feeling, is this sort of, come on!
Yeah.
Come on!
Mm.
Let's not blow this. Let's call each other out when we're closed.
Mm.
And let's make it unacceptable to be dishonorable.
Yeah.
And let's make it just simply not worthwhile to be small.
Mm. Exactly.
And for all of those of us who are endeavouring to be of healing, please know that it requires that as well, that sometimes you will be given the opportunity to call something out, to call somebody else out. to make a comment on this, and it is an act of cowardice to not do it.
Yeah.
Being spiritual is not being all floaty, 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 floaty. It's a very, it can sometimes be a very full-on, I will not tolerate this any longer energy. And every time you are around somebody or something that is bullying, it is, as your life is a gift, this is part of the deal. You stand up to it. You speak to it. You don't get into an argument with them. It's not, this is a battle that I have to win. You just simply call it out. And one of the most effective ways when you're not quite sure what to do in that situation is simply to ask the person who's doing the bullying. But of course, this has to be said from your energy of profound understanding and compassion. There's no judgment energy here, or it'll backfire quite tremendously. And you just say, why are you doing this? Why are you behaving like this? Just like that, just very, you know, just why? And it gives that person then an opportunity to get back in themselves a little bit, because it's a very good question to ask of all of us.
Yeah.
If we are not being and doing all of these things, then you can't call yourself a spiritual being, and you can't call yourself awake and conscious and aware. You can't call yourself a being of love. You can't call yourself anything other than closed off, because that's what you are. And maybe if we were really honest with each other about this, it might start shifting things really quite quickly. Because if we knew we couldn't get away with this bullshit with each other, then we'd have to do something about it.
Yeah.
And we'd start opening up, because you're coming back into connection with your conscience, your consciousness.
Yeah.
And then we'd start to actually walk our talk. Not the psychobabble talk, obviously. And of course, in that way, everything else changes. Everything else in the world changes. But we cannot complain about these, the corporate takeover of our planet, whilst we're still giving them our money.
Yeah.
And obviously, we can't complain about anything. If you're experiencing something, then you have, at the very least, enjoined in creating it.
Mm.
And sometimes, the most powerful thing that any of us can do is to help each other to open up. And I'm just reflecting, you can see me reflecting as I'm saying this, to open up, understand that life is a gift, and you are here to be and do in love in exchange for this gift.
That's beautiful.
And of course, once you really profoundly understand and witness your life as a gift, you already opened up.
Yeah. As a receiving and as an opening,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're making your contribution.
Yeah.